The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. All broadly, or proudly, I should say, brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. Still to come, Dr. Bob. He'll talk about his thoughts on the three college football games today. Syracuse, Minnesota starting things off this morning. If he's got any thoughts on that, big spread on that one. And then the FSU game, that spread has just grown and grown on FSU. But remember, he had the Seminoles as his number six ranked team in the country. That was even like a month ago when they were 18th. In the actual standings or the actual rankings. So Bob has always been pretty bullish on them. I grabbed FSU at -7, but I believe it's around -10 right now. So we'll get his thoughts. Todd Wishnev in studio, talk about his NFL thoughts because the Megapod happens right after this, after the show. So convenient for him to be here in studio. We'll talk about his weight loss challenges and struggles as well. We'll do all of that. But first, we check in with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger. Unscripted. Unscripted and remote, not in studio, but at an undisclosed location somewhere in this great nation of ours. Billy, how you doing, man?
Yeah, hi. I feel like I'm underneath this lamp here, and if it was a little bit of a smoky scene, you know, it would be like, where were you last night in Tokyo? yeah, it's like, but yeah, anyway, hey, Gil, I'm glad to have be on this segment because I just want to talk about something that was on my Twitter, and I started reading it. It's so tough to catch up with things during football, basketball, especially when I'm, you know, doing a little traveling and stuff, trying to terrorize bookmakers around the country and the world. But someone said to me about live wagering. He said, Bill, man, it's frustrating. It's a big problem. I tried to take 25-1 on something and was finally able to take 4-1. You know, he says, if you want to move to Vegas and love live betting, don't do it. Obviously, his problem was in Vegas. This can be anywhere, though, but his problem was, I think the better thing is, if you want to bet sports for a living and think you're going to, you maybe want to reconsider and just keep it as a hobby or a hobby that you can actually still make money with. But perfect example, nothing against this person that had the tweet here, but if you're trying to take 25-1, I don't see 4-1. I don't know what the bet was. I don't see 4-1 being any value. To continue his text, though, he said, we might as well be back in the 1960s for live betting. They are ahead with the feed. Oh, yeah. They are ahead with the feed so they can play God. So a really good tweet, most of it, except for I don't understand why. How can you take 4-1 when you were trying to take 25-1? But what he's saying, guys, is there's certain sports books, and let me just tell you, it's all the sports books that came into the when the new jurisdictions allowed sports betting, they're on a delay, and you know the bet doesn't go right through for live wagering. Now I'm trying to think, I don't do a lot of live wagering. I believe though in Vegas, I believe that like Circa, Westgate, South Point, I believe you could bet live and it goes right through instantly, accept it. But I'm not, don't quote me on that.
No.
It's not?
No.
Because of the lights?
Yeah. No, and I'm not going to pick, and I'm not going to pick on any specific book. But let me just say this, because you and I have talked about, even since the inception, right, when Andrew Giroud was the developer of the Midas algorithm at the M so many years ago, they were always ahead, right? And it was like in a sinister kind of way. They were always playing God. And so you and I have many times on this show, we've come on and said, hey, they're always ahead. They can play God. You gotta really bet on commercials. Let me just add on something to that now. I have witnessed books here in town, a certain book, and if you applied that theory, and you're like, okay, I get it. They're ahead during the game. They're spinning on you to determine what the outcome of the next, you know, bucket is in a basketball game. Let's use the sport of basketball. Oh, I bet you they spun here and they finally accepted it. That means this team probably makes this jumper. Watch. Yep. See, he made the jumper. Exactly why they took the bet, because that went against me. But you know what I'm saying now? That this I haven't seen before, but now it is, and it's really bad, which is, okay, then wait for the commercials, and then they take the whole thing off during the commercial.
Why have live wagering?
Just
want to cheat? That's it? I mean, Jesus.
So at that point, you're like, what are we doing here? Like, seriously, what are we doing? Like, that really gets you upset. It gets you angry.
Yeah, it does. And let's call it what it is, like you said. Cantor Gaming, who got thrown out of town for doing many things, they didn't get thrown out of town for this, but let's just face it, they were cheating. They were cheating. And they were cheating guests. They had to pay back guest money on parlay prices that they eventually were fined in upwards of $30 million, the biggest fine ever levied against a casino sports book, from what I know. And yeah, they were cheating. Now, think about it. The person that's in risk, he's not a sports bettor. By the way, I am only saying this because I know who the person was. He wasn't a sports bettor. He thought his job was to, and in layman's terms, cheat. He you know, accept the bets that he knew that were going to be mathematically against him when the team scored a touchdown on that play, and take the bets that were the opposite side of that. It's kind of scary to say that word, and I know people get really upset. I was Gil, I'm gonna divulge something here you don't know. I was given in my mail, it shocked me. I got a certified letter from one of the sports books that said, "We want a retraction from you. You said the word cheating, and we want a retraction, or we're gonna sue you financially."
Wow.
And we're gonna sue you. Yeah. So they tried to sue me, and believe it or not, Gil, I welcomed it with open arms. When I sent back the letter to them, they must have been like, "Wow, this guy's crazy." No, I wasn't crazy. I had video footage on my phone, video footage of two of my friends holding up phones, betting opposite sides in a game when Kansas City, I remember this like it was yesterday, Kansas City was on the 1 yard line. They both hit the opposite sides of the game at their exact time. I'm filming the whole thing. And of course, the side that scored the touchdown against them was accepted. The side that made the touchdown was not accepted. Now, granted, this was 4 years ago. So it was a little bit different now. I don't see that happening, even with that company now. But I do know that this kind of stuff was going on. I was shocked to see the threat of a lawsuit. But I welcomed it with open arms because I had so much of my own information to put out there against that sports book. And I had, let's just be honest, I could have had a class action lawsuit against them for what they were doing.
Did you share that video with them? Was that your response, sharing that video?
Oh, no. They couldn't have that unless it went to a lawsuit. Matter of fact, Gil, next time I'm with you, I will show you the video. It's from 2019, but I'll show you the video. Mm. And you'll be like, "Oh, my God, I can't believe that happened." Well, you won't be like that, but most people will be like, "No way." I wanted to prove it, so I had it on video. And, you know, listen, I think that they're more competent now, but you understand that Cantor Gaming, I knew the guy in risk there. It was very bad, but he didn't realize what he was doing, this one person. Anyway, he didn't look at it as cheating. He looked at it as his job.
He thought that was the gig, yeah.
He didn't get it. He didn't even gamble. He didn't get it. I literally had explained it to him one time, and it was it's probably hard to believe. People at home listening are probably saying, "What? This can't be."
Let me just put it in context. The reason why, sure. And again, yeah, because I think it's good to stop and sort of give it context, which is because somebody's going to land in, sure, and be like, "Oh, there's Bill Krakenberger. He's always complaining about something." No. Why we bring up these things is because there is a tacit agreement, an unspoken agreement, right, or an unspoken understanding that new bettors assume exists. And newish bettors assume exist, which is that all of this is above board. And so you just have to sort of let folks know from time to time that all of this might not be above board. And so that's just sort of the dash of reality we want to throw in. It's not everybody. It's not most, maybe, right? But at times, you will see some of this behavior. And it's our way of saying, "Hey, look, there ought to be a tacit agreement that this is all above board, and everybody's got to do better." That's all.
Yeah, well, Gil, what am I supposed to do? Come on these shows that I go on, my own podcast, shows during the week, Fox Sports. What am I supposed to do? Come on there and just talk about what they think I should be talking about?
Yeah.
Or, you know, I give credit to the Visa Network. I give credit to Fox. I give credit to my sponsor at WSN for my podcast to be able to talk freely about sports books and talk about things. We expect the best from legitimate companies that are licensed and governed by the states, by the gaming agencies. But a lot of times the gaming boards, the gaming agencies, they would not know how to police something like a live wagering. What our company could say, oh, we took a bet from Joe Blow at this location. That's why we moved it. It's not that. We know what it is. There's not competent bookmakers that are out there working in risk sometimes, that they're paid to take bets and take volume. The CEOs, the presidents, even their manager, they want them to take volume. But a lot of times, let's face it, a lot of times they don't do that. They just want to get through their 8-hour shift, have no big decisions, go home, and steal a paycheck. Yeah, and I'm not saying it's for everyone, too. I'm not saying that. Yeah. Some certain companies.
And if anybody's, you know, thinking, oh, come on, like, you know, again, my pinned tweet all these years, my pinned tweet on Twitter from 2018. This is right before PASPA was ruled unconstitutional and betting became legalized in this country, where I just took on William Hill straight on for what they were doing. They were legit trying to get out of paying, and this was pre-flop, right? This is pre-flop NFL draft bets. There's nothing live about this. They were legit trying to make up random reasoning as to why they weren't going to pay out bets. And we did a segment on this show. We did a segment, and we basically got Bogdanovich right after that segment, called me right as the segment ended. It was like, tell everybody we'll pay him. Tell him to call me, we'll pay him all. And so, yeah, you have to sort of have these moments where you catch. Yeah.
Hill, to be fair, before I only got 30 seconds, Hill is much better now.
Yes, they are. 100%.
Totally, they take bets now. They pay.
Yeah.
No problem. Joe Asher's out.
Bill Krakenberger, everybody, right here on A Numbers Game. Thank you, Bill. Enjoy your time away. We'll see you next week. Bill Krakenberger, unscripted with the crack man. Dr. Bob on college football on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, and the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game, proudly brought to you by BetMGM. Don't forget, college bowl season is here, and VSiN has you covered every which way. We got picks, spreads, and totals for every single bowl game. Head to VSiN.com and check out all our bowl betting coverage. And while you're there, now's a great time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Let me throw that out as well. For only $79, you get access to everything we do from now through the big dance. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe. Wyatt Tomchak in for Kelly Bidlin today. Wyatt just asked me, Gil, who's producing tomorrow? And I'm like, I don't know. Wyatt Tomchak? To which he replied, what did you reply, Wyatt? What was your response? What would you say your honest response was?
Look, I said, hey, I just need to know the schedule. I've got to women's basketball game call at 6:30 tonight.
6:30 tonight.
I've got to make sure I have enough time to do all the work.
But the game is tonight.
Yes.
What does that have to do with tomorrow's show?
Well, then I have to. It all depends on how much sleep I get.
Oh.
If not, I'm going to need about three of these.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is my way of saying to you, this younger generation. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Working two jobs, you know, man. It's a grind.
God.
Trying to be as good as Ben Wilson.
Hey. We should all be Ben Wilson, baby. Ben Wilson, play-by-play man for the Ignite, the G League team here.
That's correct, yep.
You know what that means? He is on the doorstep, I believe, of an NBA gig.
He's a superstar.
Ben Wilson, who also did some Tennis Channel stuff, by the way, recently. Now that's, I can't wait for tennis next week. We get tweets at Beating the Book. John Balduzzi, he says, tweet from 30,000 feet en route to Puerto Rico. Oh, nice. A little humble brag there. He said, shh, don't tell anyone, but our Caps are a bet-on team. Rock the red. Yes, baby. I did not see that tweet when I asked Jay Kahn about it. This is from JR, or as he goes by, Jay Ruh-ruh. They'd pull your wise guy card for betting Dallas -13 tonight when it was lower all week, but what about playing the -10 in a pool/contest? Better, for sure. I would not. Here's the thing about that game. Again, in case you missed it, because we talked about this a couple times already today. The Titans, and we went through, you know, player by player here, who they're missing tonight from the game. Jeffrey Simmons is out. Amani Hooker, Bud Dupree, Zach Cunningham, Danico Autry probably, although he's doubtful. The rest are out, listed as out on defense. On offense, Derrick Henry is listed as doubtful. Derrick Henry ain't playing. I'm just going to tell you that. There's no way. Doubtful. They wouldn't list him as doubtful if he was going to play. And then the question even becomes, with Ryan Tannehill out, you know, we expect, oh, is it going to be Malik Willis? Some people believe in Malik Willis, that the Titans need to see what they have in Malik Willis for the big game next week against the Jaguars, which is for the AFC South title. But I wonder, if you don't have your right tackle, which you don't, Nicholas Petit-Frere,
I wonder if you subject him, without Derrick Henry, do you subject him to this game at all? I don't know. Josh Dobbs waiting in the wings. I wouldn't be surprised. So bet cautiously. Again, my only bet's Cowboys minus seven first half, and I do have the Titans team total under. We do have the great Dr. Bob. Do we have the great Dr. Bob? Talk college football? Not quite yet?
Not quite yet.
All right. We're still working on it. Again, for the college football tonight, I have FSU minus seven, but that game has gotten away. It's FSU minus 10 right now. I mean, would I still bet it? I think FSU rolls. Obviously, the answer to that question is I have the seven, so I'm not. But look, again, Bob had them as the sixth-ranked team in the country. FSU has been one of the more, if not the most, underrated team via analytics of any other team in college football this year. So, again, he had them sixth when I think they were ranked 18th. They're taking on the Sooners today. The Seminoles now 10-point favorites in a 65-point game. More tweets, by the way. This is from Charlie D., USA number one. He goes, Bill looks like he's been talking about Cracker Burger, the previous segment. Bill looks like he's been hijacked to an undisclosed area. Can we get him a better background? Well, makeshift background. What can you do? This is from Chris Heath. My bunny ear antenna can hear the live changes often on a certain offshore. Sometimes it's Fox, he says, sometimes CBS, but there's always one that's ahead of their feed by 7 seconds, he says, talking about the live betting. Lucky Luciano, I have a great story of an offshore book, Poker Room, that shut my account down and took all funds in my account. I can give an explanation what happened, but they won't even talk to me, just confiscated all my funds. What can I do? Well, now that is, the what can I do part, this is where regulated books, I know we all like to sound like we're super duper cool and we're like, hey, regulation. This is where regulation is great, right? Because there ought to be, and I get it, sometimes with regulated books, there isn't as an efficient a recourse as you'd like either. But at least with regulated books, there is the potential and the hope of recourse on situations like that. With an unregulated book in the wild, wild west, far away places, offshore, you ain't got no shit. You just don't. So, you know, that's just the price of doing business. I'm not trying to be unsympathetic. I'm just sort of saying, hey, that's how it goes. This is from Todd Bubba Horwitz. You guys bring reality to sports betting. The bookmaker will take all the edge they can, as will the player. It's all about the money. Happy, healthy, prosperous new year to you both. Thank you very much. Over the Levee says, Unscripted with Crack is my favorite radio segment of the entire week. Always a fascinating listen. What's his podcast? His podcast is Wisecracks with Bill Krakenberger. Wisecracks with John Orlando and Bill Krakenberger. You know, this gives us a chance, Wyatt, to talk a little tennis for a second. Can we talk a little tennis for a second? Is that allowed on the show?
I mean, this is your bread and butter here, so I'm going to let you be.
Kind of my thing. 2023 Grand Slam props. By the way, can we just take one last look at 2022? What a great betting year it has been for us. Beyond Ole Miss at 100-1 in the College World Series, beyond the Atlanta Braves, 17 bets to win the NL East, Wyatt Tomchek's Atlanta Braves, beyond the Warriors, beyond Paolo Banchero, Iga Swiatek in at least four different tournaments this year. In 2022, Miami Open, Indian Wells, the U.S. Open, obviously the French. That was the last year. 2022 was the last year where we were ever going to get great numbers on Iga. The Iga run of three calendar years has finally come to an end. Now, that's we can sort of do a one shining moment on her, and there'd be tons of memories, and it was just wonderful. Now, if you bet sports long enough, something else, someone else will come along, and it will be just as wonderful of an opportunity. But there was nothing like Iga Swiatek for us here. Again, 2020 French Open champ, which I got paid on at all but one book who decided they didn't want to pay me at 30-1 odds or greater, and it has been wonderful. But now we are in the sort of era of per tournament. Let's just take the Australian Open, which he's never won before, but what we're looking at with Iga now is Iga trying to win an Iga Slam is what her team is really about. And she's got one in pocket now with the U.S. Open. Here comes the Australian Open. She'll be a prohibitive favorite at the French. So if she can win the Australian, then she's going to be on the cusp of an Iga Slam. And so some books are thrown out. DraftKings has Iga Swiatek Grand Slams won. Remember, from the ITF Tour, we were betting on her at huge odds back in the day, and now she's the number one tennis player in the world. So Over a half a slam is minus 650. That's appropriately priced because on clay, she's Rafa. She's Rafa Nadal. Under would be a massive plus 350. Ought to be higher than that, quite frankly. You ought to get more bang for your buck. So what is the bet here on Iga Swiatek Grand Slams won this year? You got to consider, you got to just sort of assume the French. She won the U.S. Open. Can she win the Australian Open, where she's a little south of a 2-to-1 proposition right now. She's about plus 185 on average to win the Australian Open. I do have some Iga bets in pockets, but again, not nearly as sexy as they used to be. I think plus 225 is the best I've gotten here over time. The Australian Open begins in a couple weeks. They're playing in Adelaide this coming week. So what's the bet there? Is there a bet on her Grand Slams? I honestly think over 2.5 at 5-to-1 is a play. I have said many times on this show, I believe she will win double-digit slams. I believe she will be the greatest player of all time. I think over 2.5 at 5-to-1, because here's the thing. I think she can win the Australian Open and the U.S. Open. Wimbledon is always the one. We said this last year, too. Like, the grass, she's never won a grass court tournament. So that's always going to be the wild card. Now, is there any reason to believe that she won't eventually win Wimbledon? No. So is there a possibility she could win one of the two hard court slams, Aussie and U.S. Open, lose the other one, and win Wimbledon as the third in addition to the French Open? I think yes. So to me, over 2.5 at 5-to-1 is a nice price. Now, is it mathematically a nice price? It is not, because it ought to be higher than that. But if you want a fun bet in women's tennis, I would take that. Now, Ons Jabeur Grand Slams won. Remember, she was a runner-up in two different slams this past year. This is for her to win a Grand Slam. Over is plus 275. It's tough, right? It's tough. As long as Iga's around, it's tough. But Ons Jabeur will definitely be knocking at the door in a lot. I would not hate a plus 275 bet on that, but I like the Iga one better above that. And then there's Aryna Sabalenka, who closed the season last year very strongly. Could she finally get over the hump and win herself a slam? She's plus 350 at over a half a slam. I still don't trust her as much as I do Ons Jabeur. So in order, I like the Iga bet best at over 2.5 at 5-to-1, then the Ons Jabeur over at a half at plus 275, and then the Aryna one I don't like as much. If I'm power ranking them, the Iga one is the one that I would absolutely make. We'll come back. Todd Wishnev in studio. His thoughts on NFL Week 17. We got the Megapod today as well with Joe Fortenbaugh. We'll do all that. The other side, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber for only $79. Get access to everything we do from now through the big dance. Sign up today. You also receive $20 to buy VSiN Sports Betting hats, shirts, mugs, and other great gear at our online store. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests, betting splits, and betting reports. It's a limited time offer, though, so sign up. Get VSiN Pro access through the end of March Madness at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander, Wyatt Tomchek, in for Kelly Bidlin. For those who missed it, Kelly testing positive for COVID, so no eggnog challenge tomorrow. We all wish Kelly the best. We have every reason to believe he will recover soon, but sorry about the eggnog challenge. Which brings us to a gentleman who is in studio with us. Ladies and gentlemen, he's the star of Showtime's docuseries Action, and the star of the Megapod, the Beating the Book Megapod, which we record right after the show today with Joe Fortenbaugh as our guest today. Jeff Parlay with us as well. Todd Wishnev in studio. How you doing, Toddy?
What's up, Gilly Ice? How are you?
I'm good. Thanks, as always, for dressing up. That's always appreciated.
Well, man, I'm playing tennis right after, so I have to be.
So am I.
I have to have priority.
Well, you think I'm playing tennis in a button-down?
You know, it's interesting we're talking about tennis because
you
did say the thing about Iga Swiatek, and it's over now. Like, the money has been made on her.
Yes.
A very similar situation happened in the Las Vegas Invitational. Back in 2019 when I was 290 and beating Mike Palm and Gilly, there were great numbers on me because I was so fat, and people were like, oh, my gosh, how could he possibly be beating these guys?
Very similar.
There was a lot of money to be made in 2019 backing me in the LVI tennis tournament. Now, I'm just so good, you can't make money on me anymore.
Are you done?
No.
Okay. Todd, let me just ask you a question. Can I be serious for a second
sure.
with you? You don't say sure seriously like
yes,
that.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Okay. We know you. The audience knows you most recently, not from your tennis shenanigans, but from your weight loss challenge with Steve Fezzik. Now, you lost how much weight in how much amount of time?
I lost 111 pounds in 183 days.
Okay. And that was a bet that didn't have an outcome in the end because you went to the doctor, there were some readings, and you guys decided to call it off. But it was a race to a certain number. You were way behind Fezzik in terms of where you started. You were 60 pounds heavier than him.
72
pounds heavier. But you lost, again, how many in how many days?
111 pounds in 183 days.
Okay. So, and you got down to what weight?
I got to 194, and he was at 192. Now, just so Steve knows, if I really wanted to beat him for the $9,000, I could have. All I had to do was fast and take some diuretics or something, and I would have cleaned him out. But because I'm a nice guy, and there's also a part of me that didn't want to, like, you know, bury poor Stevie.
Yeah.
I kind of
let him. Is it possible for you to exist without the bravado, or
no.
is that? And it's not
no, I don't think that's
so
possible.
Either. Okay, so what ended up happening, and this is... And this, I just want to say this because a lot of people struggle with weight loss and that kind of thing. And just a brief aside before we get to your college basketball and NFL thoughts, you then, because you are a fluctuator, right? I always say the Luther Vandross thing for those who are familiar with the late R&B star Luther Vandross. Some albums he would be huge. Some albums he would be super skinny. He went up and down with his weight. Not a good thing to do. And so I said to you on the way down, because you were being your normal bravado-filled self, you're like, I weigh less than you, Gilly Ice. And I'm like, don't worry, I'll see you on the way up. Sadly, what ended up happening?
Well, there was a little bout with the Reese's Dipped Pretzels that have come into existence since the last time I was... I mean, I'm really no different than a heroin addict. The only difference is in substance. And I'm not even kidding about that.
Right.
You know, you start with the chocolate-covered pretzels, and then you have to have the white-covered pretzels, and then you have to have the potato chips, and then you have to have the popcorn, and, well, I'm going to start tomorrow anyways. I better put the pizza in, and, you know, I'm not going to have anything until another couple months.
Because,
so I better have the
because
cookies.
Because for you, the line you use is, once the genie is out of the bottle, it's hard to put back in.
Well, what they say in a lot of the anonymous meetings is, for people who go to Narcotics Anonymous or Alcoholics Anonymous or Overeaters Anonymous, the people at Overeaters Anonymous will say, who are also in other programs, it's the most difficult addiction food, because in the other addictions, they put the tiger in the cage and throw away the key. In the Overeaters Anonymous program, they put the tiger in the cage and then take it for a walk 3 times a day. Because you have to eat every day.
To live, right.
You don't have to have heroin again. You don't have to drink alcohol again. You have to continue eating.
Yeah, that's a great, very descriptive line of it. So you ended up gaining.
So I gained up. So in 55 days, I went hog wild, and I would have a good day here, a bad day here. I'd have a good day, then 5 bad days, and I have another good day, and 5. It was just a disaster. I gained 55 pounds in 55 days, eating more than I'd ever eaten before.
How many calories
averaging,
a day?
I was averaging. Okay, folks, averaging 8,000 calories a day. There were days I ate 11,000 calories.
Okay, hold on. Dude, if I walked out of this studio right now and I set my mind to, like, I am going to try to eat, what was your average, 8,000 calories, I could not do it.
Well, if you get involved with the Reese's Dipped Pretzels and the white fudge chocolate flips, you can really do some damage, because the small bag has 560 calories.
They are delicious.
The other one has 700 calories. The bigger bag has 980. You hit one of those, then you have to go to the other one, then you go back to the other one. You can put the numbers up.
Okay. So the serious comment I'd like to make is...
So now in the last 4 days...
Yes. Well, no, before we get to that. So the serious comment I want to make is, I don't want you to fluctuate your weight anymore. I want you to be around for a long time, and I don't like this about you, but I understand this about you.
I don't like that heroin addicts are addicted to heroin.
But I understand this about you. What I mean by I don't like is I don't like it for your own health. But so now you are back to losing weight, because you got to a certain point, you got sick of yourself, you got in your car, you drove out west to play tennis every day because it's cold in Pittsburgh. Now what have you lost?
Well, see, the problem is also when I was playing tennis every day in the summer, it really builds the day up very nicely, because I can put the 2 tennis sessions in during my meals and everything. And I was losing, I didn't have any more tennis now because it's freezing cold in Pittsburgh. And I just said, you know what, screw it, I'm getting in the car. I got in the car. It was 249.8 on Sunday morning. Got in the car Sunday morning, drove to Joplin, Missouri on the first night, Gallup, New Mexico on the second night, and here in Vegas on the third. I played a little hoops in Amarillo, Texas on the way.
Mm-hmm.
I played tennis with you yesterday and the day before. I am now, and I've eaten 1,500 calories again 4 days in a row, back to my regular program. I'm now 231 this morning.
Is there a bet involved that is making you do this, or you're just doing this for yourself?
Well,
now?
I mean, the problem is if I don't stop, I'll be 8 million pounds in no time. But
right.
I did originally bet, before the 55 days, I originally bet Fezzik 1,500 that either of us had to be below our target weight, meaning his target weight 190, me 205. If one of us is below it and the other one is above it, that person loses 1,500 okay. on May 11th, 2023.
Can you do this without a bet involved, or do you require, and this is a serious question, do you require a bet? Because I think this gets to the sports the betting element of this. It shows that if you have an incentive, right? In your case, it happens to be a bet.
It really wasn't about the bet. It's about the fact that I'm at 249 in 55 days. If I keep eating 8,000 calories a day, I'm going to be back to 300 pounds in no time.
Right.
And then I'm going to be dead.
Okay, but you yourself, you're talking on both sides. You yourself said, okay, that you can't help it. Hey, Gil, I can't help it. Because it's not as simple as saying stop eating, Todd, that you can't control it. So what I'm asking, let's focus on the question, is do you require a bet to reverse that? Is that what made you reverse here at the end? Or are you, again, because you're a big non-free will guy, you believe none of us have free will, you just think one day you wake up.
I mean, honestly, every day I'm trying to do it just to be alive, because I have diabetes when I'm heavy, and, you know, $1,500 is not the point. Obviously, everything helps against an addiction. Look, folks, there's no answer for addiction. Even people in programs, 6% of them make it. 94% do not. We have issues as human beings, psychological issues that go back to childhood, depression, all kinds of things. And the addiction is just the symptom of the problem.
So what made you stop eating all those pretzels?
I just don't know. Sometimes you just get so to the bottom of the barrel in depression that you just be like, okay, I've just got to stop. It's a rock bottom issue. Now, hopefully the rock bottom is sooner rather than later. But it wasn't 3 days before.
No.
I wish it was 3 days before. You don't feel good eating all those pretzels. While you're eating them, they feel delicious. And you can put everything away, because all you do is just enjoy those pretzels while you're driving around to the next place with the pretzels. But the thing is it's such a horrible feeling, because you just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So the problem is, how do you stop that? I don't know.
And that's what my question. I know by your tone you're making me sound non-sympathetic, but I'm super sympathetic.
No, of course I know.
And I'm trying to figure out, you know, what it is that can make you just maintain this. So once you get down to your 205, let's say you get down to your 205, what's going to keep you at that?
Look, I don't know. I could have under 72 and a half in the first half of a college basketball game, and three three-pointers in the last minute sends me to the store to get the goddamn pretzels. I'm not sure. Life is very, very complicated, Mr. Alexander. And by the way, it is much appreciated. I know I'm, you know, bravado and goofy guy and all that stuff, but it is much appreciated that you're concerned for me. Steve Fezzik's concerned for me. You know, I bust Fezzik's balls all the time and everything, but he's I'm sorry.
We almost got through a segment. Thanks,
Todd. But
I
my point is, it's very appreciated that people have concern.
Okay. Todd bets all the time. He has a college basketball formula that he's given on this show.
Well, I'm not giving the full
many
formula.
Times. Not giving the full formula, but some thoughts on college basketball in-game and your thoughts on Week 17 in the National Football League on the heels of the Megapod, which we will do with Joe Fortenbaugh right here after the show. Todd Wishnev in studio, dressed to the nines, ladies and gentlemen. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets. Never been easier to join the action on the new BetMGM app, featuring a fresh redesign with improved features and quicker navigation. Planning a trip to Vegas? You can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM resorts located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards. rewards. Sports betting's premier loyalty program, including exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks. When you wager with BetMGM, sign up with BetMGM or log in today to take advantage of BetMGM rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. We appreciate all the tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. This is from Alan Mitchell. Good morning, Gil. Will you be having an Oscars picks show segment in the future? Thanks. Happy New Year. Let's ride. Get through in the Let's Rye. Let's Rye. Again, Russell Wilson at a deli asking for less rye bread to be there. Yes, we will do an Oscars segment. Brian Ortega will do our Oscars segment. I haven't even asked Brian, but he'll do it with us. I'm sure he will. What do you think the odds of Brian saying no to that segment are?
Saying no, like minus a million.
Minus a million. Saying no is minus a million? No. Saying yes is
minus a million. Yeah, there we go. Oh, wow. Let me use proper English.
Casino Joe, outstanding segment with Bill Krakenberger today. Very insightful. Keep up the good work. Thank you, sir. Crack was on fire today. Mike Ross, FanDuel suspended my account after we got that Banchero number one draft pick bet. Took 90 days to get my account back after a quote-unquote investigation. Let's see. This is from Adam Orphan. He said, we need tennis updates. How has the warmer weather affected your game, Todd? Does Gil have the early advantage? Jeremiah Westgate. Gil, I'd love to take a crack and sub on that eggnog bet. I'll even say I could do it in under an hour. Really, it's the fun is Kelly doing it, really. Just to watch it all over his beard. But thank you, Jeremiah. We'll take it under consideration here. Let's see here. Dr. Bob, Eric Eager, along with noted dietitian Todd Wishnev. It's almost as if you knew Kelly Bidlin was going to call out sick. That's from Buddhist Man. That's right. Almost knew he was. He flooded with guests. Tim Swiler, always talking about his tennis bet. He said, my four majors future on Iga and Novak combined is my favorite bet. So he's got them both winning a combined four. That is a nice little bet there. Let's see. Todd, he says, Hayden Sherman says, Todd, if you're in studio, then who's out heckling? Is his question for
it's
you.
It's a great question.
Yeah. On and on with these tweets. Oh, here's one last one. Keno Walker. Gil and Crack's short segment on live betting was better than a post on a better winning lots of money on a 16-team parlay. Y'all just made my day. We appreciate it. We're just sort of keeping it real. And then, Todd, you know, a lot of people sort of giving weight loss advice via text, proteins, weight training, our buddy Michael Montesano. You've been through it all. You're in a Hall of Famer when it comes to this subject.
Well, I've only lost over 100 pounds five times, so I know a little bit about it. It's not about
gained it five,
of course. Yeah. It's not about the execution. Everybody knows what to do. You have to actually execute the plan, which is about the motivation, which people don't have the answer. My friend Steve, of course, texts me and he goes,
Steve Fezzik?
Bet 1 million and the addiction magically will go back in the genie bottle.
Was that now, your imitation of Steve Fezzik?
That was his like arrogant tone. And here's the thing. He's brilliant on sports betting, not so brilliant on addiction.
Wow. Shots fired.
He just doesn't understand that there's obvious flaws to that. Now, obviously, if I bet $1 million, I could win a bet. Big deal. What happens after that?
Not sustainable, is what you're saying. So Steve Fezzik, by the way, to your point about being brilliant at sports betting, he provides our pro tip of the hour. This, again, has to do with tonight's football game between the Cowboys and the Titans. I said I had the Titans earlier. I have the Cowboys in the first half at minus seven, and he was saying, hey, find the minus 6.5, which existed at DraftKings, bet that now, then bet the other side at plus 7.5, the Titans at post. And what he's saying is, for tonight, that is the tip, not only is the seven key, the real point to this, beyond just his prediction in that, is the major point of something like that, which he says, listen, the main issue with that and the reason that he's so confident that it will get there is that it's a national TV single game standalone, smaller limit bets like the first half, Dallas minus seven, and then quote-unquote good story bets like this Dallas first half always get overbet, if you will. Overbet meaning bet too much by many people, and the spread moves too much by post. That's the reasoning behind that. Our VSiN Pro tips are once every hour at VSiN.com, searchable there for VSiN Pro subscribers only. So we have 5 minutes, Todd. Let's talk about the college basketball moment with your formula. You don't have to give the formula away, but in terms of betting,
well, I'll just give them some
totals
half. Some background, not just second, in game.
Yeah,
because they have in game first half totals, mm-hmm. in game full game totals. I think I mean, if you want to really get into like totals betting on college basketball, you have to understand the numbers and how those will correlate to the possessions. And I'm not going, people are going to text me like, oh, well, then what are you doing? I'm not giving you the whole story, folks. I'm just giving you a starting point. The starting point you have to understand is really low college basketball game totals, like 120s, are going to be correlated to a certain amount of possessions. Typically, a first half amount of possessions in a game like that is 29 or 30. So if you see a 120 and there was 29 to 30 possessions in the first half, that means they're pretty much playing at the pace they were supposed to be playing at. Conversely, a 155, which is a very high college basketball total, or a 160 even, that's going to correlate to more like 37, 38 possessions in a first half. So if you see they played 37, 38 possessions, you're like, oh, this is such a fast-paced game. Yes, it was supposed to be a fast-paced game. However, if they did 43 possessions in such a game, or in the 30-possession game, they played 35 possessions, you see that the game is playing out faster, or I'll give you an example, or slower. You know, you can have the same example. Like Northwestern State was playing Texas A&M the other night on SEC Network. I'm watching the game. It was a 144 total. The first, like, 12 minutes of the game, they were averaging possessions. It was going to be a 30-possession first half. It was a slow game. Northwestern State obviously came out and said, we don't want to run with Texas A&M. And if you watched the game, you could see they were shooting with, like, 6 seconds left in the 30. You can tell right then they will not be able to adjust that game down enough because it's such a – of 144, it's supposed to have 35, 36, 37 possessions in the first half. They're not going to even get there. 20% of the possessions you were supposed to get are not going to show up. So I bet the under first half, one easily. Then at halftime, at 144, half of 144 is 72. Add the four extra for the second half, which is 76. It's supposed to be 76, the second half number, if everything was normal. But it, because it was such a low-scoring game, they made it 74 and then quickly bet down to 73, which is like a huge move. But I still bet it under 73 and still won by 20 points.
Point being, they can adjust. They just can't adjust enough dramatically.
Exactly. Right. So, yeah. And if you're going, if Northwestern State is going to dribble it down and try to like play four corners-ish basketball, you're not getting to that one number. It's just not happening. And, of course, it didn't, and I won both sides easily.
How many times, though, do you have to make the assessment? So the Northwestern State one is a great example because you knew they were going to play it that way for the duration. How many times or what percentage of times do you see a pace?
The pace doesn't change as much as you would think it does. Now, granted, there's going to be times you're going to get burned. And, you know, a faster than
– I love that you anticipated the question. But those who didn't, how many times do you have to make the assessment that – this is actually just something that happened and is not likely to continue.
Well, that's why you wait 8 to 12 minutes into the game. And obviously, it's not always going to work, but you're not looking to always win. You're looking to win 55, 56% of the time.
So put yourself in the best position.
Yeah, put yourself in a position, and you're in the long run, if a game played 20, remember, 8 or 12 minutes of a college basketball game is 20 or 30% of the game.
Yeah.
If you see 30% of the game is playing out a certain way, that's because the coaches are doing something to tell them. Northwestern State coach said before the game, I promise you, he said, listen, guys, don't shoot early because we're going to get run out of this building. That's what happened. I wasn't there, but I can tell you for sure that's what happened.
But there are inevitably times, aren't there? And maybe it is the exception and not the rule. There are going to be times where you see that, right? It's not that easy because
there's a million other things.
Okay, just let me finish the thought, please. Yeah, there are going to be times where you have to make the assessment, well, this strategy hasn't worked out for this team in the first half. Therefore, ergo, I'm not going to bet it accordingly like it's going to continue because they're going to adjust.
Remember, folks, I'm just giving you a taste.
Right.
You have to think about the turnovers. You have to think about the foul. The foul situation is gigundous.
Yeah.
Okay, because the foul situation, for instance, in the first half, if one team has five fouls at the 10-minute mark, or you know what, let's use one of the TV commercials. Okay, at the 12-minute mark of the first half, one team has five fouls, one team has one foul. You better wake up. You have to make adjustments due to that. I'm not going to tell you exactly what to do.
I love it.
The more fouls, the more points. Why? Because you get in the bonus, and you start shooting free throws. And the possessions are shorter because if a foul happens with 21 seconds on the shot clock, you're already shooting free throws. Listen, there's a million things.
Listen, the possessions thing is a great conversation to have, especially for newer bettors who don't think of things that way. I think it's always good to circle back and talk about that. By the way, interruptions over 1.5 caches for those of you who had Wishnev over 1.5 interruptions. Real quickly,
filibusters over 1.5 collect also.
10 seconds. Your favorite NFL bet this weekend is?
You know, I just started. I didn't do my preparation good, but I'll take under in the 49ers because how is Jared Stidham? You know what? If you have team total, just play Raiders team total under. How is Jared Stidham against that vaunted defense going to score any points? Give me the Niners. The Niners defense.
Yeah, I filibustered. Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.